If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I trust that you have, open please at Luke chapter 24. And we want to look at verses 44 to the end, but we'll be using other verses from other Gospels as well. I've had a privilege since the 29th of September for 10 days to have had a Jewish believer and his wife with me doing some deputation. In fact, quite a lot of deputation. I think there was 14 or 15 meetings in 10 days, so we did a lot of travelling about. And it was great to have Egal and his wife, Milana, with us. I wouldn't like to have met Egal 12 or 15 years ago. He's a big man. Now he's about 6'4". Then he was 6'4" and weighed 60 kilos. Today he weighs 120 kilos. But when he weighed only 60 kilos, you wouldn't want to have met him at all. He was part of the Israeli mafia, and you thought the mafia only existed in Italy. I learned a lot of things. Egal was born in the Ukraine, a Russian-speaking part of Ukraine. His first language was then Russian. Because they suffered persecution, the family decided to move to Israel. They moved to Israel when he was 9.5 years of age. He didn't speak Hebrew. And when he went to primary school, he was bullied. He was beaten. They mocked him. They cursed him. They spat at him. They threw stones at him. They did everything they could to that young boy. He said, the funny thing was, when I was in the Ukraine, I was kind of the Jewish kid. And when I went to Israel and lived amongst my own Jewish people, I was counted a Russian kid. And because of the frequent fights that he got into, he didn't win them all, but those that he did win. On one occasion, a wee boy's wallet, as he called it, fell from his pocket. And since he had beaten the wee boy in the fight, he stole the wee boy's wallet and stole the money from it. And he says, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour. And what he said to me was, in my mind, if I come to my land, to a Jewish land, to Jewish people, and they don't accept me, and I win the fight, it's all right for me to steal from them, because they don't accept me. That's what Satan put into his mind. And at 10 years of age, he began to take marijuana. He continued not to go to school, only occasionally, now and then. But he continued his life of crime. By the time he was 12, he was sentenced to prison for 3 years. Prison, adult prison, for a child of 12 for 3 years. Such were his crimes. By the time he was 13, he had gone on to harder drugs, cocaine and heroin. He was smuggling anything and everything that you could lay your hands on in Israel, or that he could lay his hands on, which included live weapons and drugs. And he was a drugs dealer in his mid-teens. For 15 years that continued, 8 of which he served in prison. And on one occasion, when he was released from prison for a break, he met someone that he once had taken drugs along with, one of his old buddies, a fellow called Sergei. But when he met Sergei on the street and looked at Sergei, there was something different about his eyes. There was something new about this fellow. There was something in him that made him different. He said, I could see his eyes were glowing. And he said, Sergei came up to me and he says, Egal, you need Jesus. You need the Messiah in your life. But because of his background in the mafia, he thought he was all right. So for 2 years he continued in his old lifestyle. But Sergei continued to witness to him. And Sergei is his spiritual father. Sergei is his pastor today in a little congregation in Netanya where they live. And when he went, at Sergei's insistence, into the rehab center, they spent time there getting him off drugs and at the same time encouraging him to read his scriptures. And he said in 2 months he read the Old and New Testaments. And God was at work as he read the scriptures, as he, we might say, studied part of it, because obviously the drugs were having an effect upon his mind. And as he was being taken off them, he would have had withdrawal symptoms. But the Lord was at work. And the Lord spoke to him and brought him to faith in the Messiah. And he said, when he got down on his knees to pray and ask for forgiveness, he doesn't know how it happened, but he was lying prostrate on the floor. And he says, when I asked for forgiveness, I heard some wonderful words in my heart. He said, I heard my Savior say to me, get up, your sins are forgiven. I love you. Get up, your sins are forgiven. I love you. And he was amazed, because as he got back to his feet, he realized a big change had taken place in his life. Something had happened. He knew he was different. He knew the Lord, his Messiah, had saved him. He still works in that rehabilitation center today, among drug addicts, those who are addicted to alcohol, those who are addicted to gambling. But I have been amazed as I have listened to him in my home and at meetings tell how he deals with people that he meets in Israel. And I want to open it up a wee bit this morning just to show you how he deals with people. Now, it might be an encouragement to us how we would deal with people that we meet all around us who are not believers. And I want you to see, first of all, the person who is revealed. One of the very first things that Egal does with anyone is to tell them, point blank, Jesus is the Messiah. And for a Jewish person, they understand that means the Anointed One. The one that they've been long waiting for. That's almost his first sentence to them. He has a slide on his presentation which shows two young men. I assume they're in their early 20s by the look of their face. But they're both drug addicts and they're on the street. And he goes up to them. And he gives them tracts and he gives them a New Testament. If they want to take it, he doesn't force it on them. But this young man's life was so shattered by drugs, which is a big problem in Israel, was so shattered by drugs that when he told them about the love of God in his own life and the love of the Messiah for him, the young man went down and just started to cry. Almost uncontrollably. He could not believe that there was a God in heaven who would love a drug addict like Egal, or even maybe a person like him. There's a challenge, you see. He speaks about his Messiah right up front, immediately. Of course, he wants those young people to admit that they have a problem with drugs and to go into the rehabilitation center. They need to get off the drugs and they need to start reading the scriptures. And that's what he seeks to get them to do. But who is the person that is revealed? Jesus says here in verse 44, these are the words which I spoke with you while I was yet with you, that all things which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concern me. He speaks to them about Jesus. He speaks to them about Jesus. Here's the Lord speaking about himself. And he tells them that the whole of the Word of God speaks about him. Egal did something very unusual one evening. He asked me for my Bible, and I gave it to him. He had his own Bible in the pulpit, but he asked for mine. And he got two chapters at the front of it, and he got two chapters at the end of it. And he says, the first two chapters, there's no sin in them. And the second two chapters, there's no sin there, because it's heaven. He says, everything in between deals with sin, of God's dealings with men and women, and how sin can be forgiven. I never thought of it like that before. But how true it is. Perfection there at the beginning and perfection at the end, and in between everything to deal with sin and how sin could be forgiven. He speaks about Jesus. He tells them Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can find peace or meaning of life without Jesus. He tells them that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. There was a young man that he couldn't show his slide of, but he's a believer. Egal calls him a religious Jew. I call him an Orthodox Jew, because his father is one of the famous rabbis in Jerusalem, one that would have many students today. And many young men will go and listen to the words of this so-called wise rabbi. But his son has come to faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. And how did it happen? Well, you can't walk into a bookshop in Israel and buy a New Testament, but you can get it off our website. You can buy a New Testament there, and you log in your details, and sometime later, someone will contact you to ask you, have you read it? And Egal contacted this young man. His name is Noam. And Noam said, oh, you're one of these Jews who's given your life to Jesus. I should hate you. Yes, he says, you should hate me, but you don't, because you're talking to me. He says, that's true. I'm talking to you. But I don't know why. The conversation on the phone lasted 2.5 hours. And at the end of it, Noam said to Egal, there's something happening in my life. I can feel it. What are you doing to me? Egal said, I'm doing nothing to you. I'm simply telling you about Jesus. What had he done? He had taken him to John 1 and verse 1. After saying that he needed to trust in Yeshua, he had taken him to John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he said, you see, Yeshua is God. He had taken him to John 3 and 16 and showed him the love of God towards sinners. And he had taken him to Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. And he says, there you can see that Jesus is a son of David. And after 2.5 hours, Noam said, yeah, there's something happening. What are you doing? Egal said, I'm just telling you about Jesus. I'm just telling you about Jesus. He said, will you come and meet me sometime? Surely, I'll come and meet you. He lives 2 hours from, and because he's an Orthodox Jew and has this famous Orthodox father, he would say to Egal at times, when Egal would arrive in Jerusalem, oh, I can't meet you, my father's here, or my mother's here, or my wife's here. And he would make the excuse, the true reason why he couldn't meet him that day. But Egal would pray with him on the phone. There were times he could meet him. And they met in secret. They met in secret. And at times he asked Egal to wear a kippah. So they'd think there were two Orthodox Jews talking about the scriptures. But he's come to faith in Christ. He's come to faith in Christ. Unfortunately, he hasn't yet told his famous father. He hasn't told his mother. He hasn't told his wife. But he goes to the synagogue one day. Then he goes to the worship service in the King of Kings congregation the next day. He's feeding on the word, but he's afraid. Pray for Noam. Pray for him that he would have the courage to tell his father, his family, what he has done. And where has all of this information come from? It's come from the Tanakh, the Torah, Nevi'im U'Kethi'im. It's come from the Old Testament, as we know it, combined with the New Testament. He's opened up the Word of God to these people. Jesus spoke there from the Law of Moses and the Prophets and the Psalms. That's the three great divisions of the Old Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, it's in a slightly different order, the book order. But all 39 books are still there. Same as we have in our English Bible, 39 books. And he's opening up that word to the people. We should pray for that same desire amongst people around us. We should be willing to speak to them about Jesus being the only way to heaven. We need to pray that their understandings might be opened. It tells us here that Jesus opened their understandings in verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. And as Egal there spoke to Noam, he said to Noam, I'm not doing anything in you. The warmth, the heat that the man described that he felt in his chest was the word of God. But more than that, it was God's Holy Spirit at work. We need to pray that the Lord would open their understandings. Last year, Egal led 8 Orthodox Jews to faith in Christ. 8 Orthodox Jews. The Lord is speaking in a marvelous way in that community. It's great to see what he is doing. We need to pray for them. Pray for their growth in grace. Pray that they might be able to tell their families, their friends, what they have done. That tremendous decision that they have made for Jesus. Pray they'd have that courage. I want you to think in the second place of the message that he gives. The message that he gives. And it's reiterating maybe what I've already said. The very essence of the gospel is that a man needs to repent of his sin. He needs to seek forgiveness. He needs to put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior and Redeemer. Look at verses 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Here was the word of God being preached, being spoken to these young men. He met another young man on the street. His name was Oshri. Oshri was addicted to gambling. Not only had he borrowed money from his family and from his friends, but he borrowed money from the gangster community, from the mafia. And they were the worst threat that he had. But he still wouldn't admit that he had a problem. And for several months, Egal tried to work with him and told him, you need Christ in your heart and life. You'll not really be able to break this addiction on your own. You need the power that God will give you. But Oshri wouldn't listen. He continued his old lifestyle. For about almost 6 months until he rang Egal. He was at the end of his tether. He was down and out in the street, nothing to eat, nowhere to live, and the gangster community looking for him to at least beat him up severely because he owed them so much money. Egal said, "I want you to tell me the gangster to whom you owe money. I want to speak to him. Or you get in contact with him and give him my mobile number," which he did. And the gangster rang from prison. He's serving a 20-year sentence. He's in already 10 years. He's another 10 years before they'll even consider him for parole. But he controls things on the outside from inside. And Egal said, "I want you to give Oshri time. I want you to give him 2 months because he's down and out. And because our God's a God of order, when Oshri gets back on his feet, he'll get a job and he'll repay you." And the man went ballistic. He said, "No, I won't give you any time. I'm going to send my men round and they'll beat you up and they'll beat Oshri up and they'll cause trouble for everybody." And he said, "No, I want you to give me 2 months for Oshri." And he preached the gospel to the man in prison when he was on the phone. And he and another brother, after the phone call ended, prayed that the Lord would work in that criminal's heart. The criminal rang him 3 days later. Totally different sound of a voice. Calm, collected. No anger, no hatred. "Egal, regarding Oshri, you're right. You're right. He needs time. I'll give you 3 months." What an answer to prayer that was. Egal thanked the man. He said, "The only thing I want you to do, I want you to promise that when you get him back on his feet and he gets a job, that he will pay through you me every month." "He will, I promise," said Egal. So they took Oshri into the rehab center. But long story short, they encouraged him to read the Word of God. And God opened his heart and his life. He's a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has been baptized. And he's a member of a congregation now. He has a job. And he's paying the criminal back his money. But the criminal phones every month for his money. And what does Egal do? Egal preaches to him for 2 hours. He tells him he needs Jesus in his life. He's not going to be out of prison for another 10 years at least. But he's telling him he needs Christ, that he's a sinner. I have to admit, I'm not sure if I would have that amount of courage with having a criminal, a gangster in prison who can control men on the outside, who could send them round to my home. I'm not sure I'd have that courage. Pray for Egal that he has that kind of courage. He preaches the Word of God to whoever comes across his path by whatever means. At times it will be on Skype. At times he can't speak because there's a law in Israel which forbids you to speak to a minor, someone under 18 years of age, about matters of faith. If you preach to a minor or speak to a minor about matters of faith and they're under 18, you can land yourself up in prison with quite a long prison sentence. But a young man that ordered a New Testament on the website, when Egal first contacted him, was a minor. He said, "I can't speak with you, but I will pray for you." 9 months later, that young man had come to faith in Christ, was now an adult, over 18. And Egal is with him. Pray for that young man, Victor. He's in a combat unit in the IDF. And the combat units in the IDF sometimes are asked to do unsavory things. But the Lord has opened the young man's heart. The third thing I want you to see, you find in Matthew 28 and verse 18. The power that the Messiah owns. The power that Messiah owns. In that chapter, you see the women going to the tomb early on that first day of the week. They're going to embalm the body, but by the time they get there, they find the big stone has been rolled away. They find that the Savior has risen from the dead. And they're shocked. The Lord makes himself known to them, as the other Gospels let us know. And they come back to the disciples, and they tell the disciples. And as we read here in Matthew chapter 24, that two others, we assume Mr. and Mrs. Cleophas, going to this little village of Emmaus, they came back to the disciples there in verse 33 and found the 11 gathered and them that were with them, and that may have included some women. Frightened disciples. But what does Jesus say to them there in Matthew 28 and verse 18? All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power, all authority. The King has risen. All power. Therefore go. Make disciples of all nations. That's the power that our Savior has. The power to change lives. Changed Arshu's life. He changed Victor's life. He changed Noam's life. Egal's life. Milana's life. Hundreds of other lives. If you're a believer this morning, he has changed your life. That's the power of our God. We needn't fear. We know that he is the victor. We know it as we make the word known to people, that he, by his Spirit, will open hearts and lives, that he will bring men and women to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go out with that great encouragement tomorrow or today or whenever. That we can go out and know that the Lord will open hearts, that he will build his church, because all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. What a great God we have. A God who so loved us that he gave his own only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Worthless wretches, sinners, maybe not like Egal or Oshri, but we were sinners, guilty and condemned, and yet the Lord laid his love upon us, gave his Son for us, has saved us, has redeemed us, and now says to you and me, go, make disciples of all nations. And if we can't go, what we can do is we can pray for those who do go. We can make it our prayer that the Lord would help those who speak on our behalf. Whether at home, from this local church, or further afield, we can pray for them that the Lord would encourage them, be with them, and bless them in their outreach. May God bless these thoughts to each of us. Amen.